Hello, and welcome to Legal Bites. If you're new here, my name is Alita. I'm a lawyer licensed in California and DC, and on this channel, we explain the law one bite at a time. We don't give legal advice, but we do talk about how the law works and try to look into our crystal ball to see how things might turn out. If you're enjoying this on YouTube, we'd love it if you could like the video, subscribe to the channel, share it with friends, all the great YouTube-y stuff. And if you want to listen while out and about, we're now offering our live streams in podcast form where you can leave a rating and review. Links are in the description below, as well as to our clips channel where you can find some of the best clips taken from our live streams. Otherwise, if you want to catch me elsewhere, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you want to support the channel, you can do so on Locals, Patreon, or by becoming a YouTube member, or by buying some really awesome Legal Bites merch. Again, all links are in the description below. And with that said, let's get into it. All right. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. I am so excited for this live stream today. We are joined by Stevie J of the channel Stevie J Raw. Should I call you Stevie J or Stevie J Raw?
Stevie J is fine.
Okay. I should have asked you. Okay. You asked me how I wanted to be addressed beforehand. I should have asked you as well.
Well, I do also accept Lord, but it's, you know, that's one that I prefer maybe in private. Stevie J is fine. Thank you.
So you're out of Australia, right? Is that right?
Did I am. Yes.
Okay. The land down under. Cool. Yep. And your channel, you focused a lot in recent months, maybe years, on the Johnny Depp Amber Heard kind of saga.
Yeah, coming up 2 years now. Coming up 2 years. So, and look, there's people out there who've been covering it a lot longer than I have, but it is a long time. And I think, yeah, we're up to just a bit over 250 videos on the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard situation now on my channel. And I know many of the people that I hang out with as well, and also cover the case, got similar videos as well, or similar number of videos. So we're probably well over 1,000, maybe 1,500. So, yeah,
that's a lot of content. That's awesome. And we'll get into, you know, kind of like what brought you to what kind of piqued your interest in this case. Mm-hmm. But I'll just say that, you know, what we're doing today is we're going to go over some of the facts of the case, the timeline of events that are alleged to have happened in this case, because it's such a long saga. For anyone that is kind of new to the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard case, there's trial that's coming up on April 11th. I am planning to live stream it on this channel. Very, very excited about that. Mm-hmm. It's filed in Fairfax, Virginia, so it's going to be on East Coast time. So the case is about, basically, it starts with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp were married until 2016, right around the time that they divorced. She claimed that he was violent against her, basically claimed domestic violence in the course of their divorce. And then later on down the line in December 2018, she had a Washington Post article where she has an op-ed and she talks about how she was retaliated against for supposedly speaking out about having been a domestic violence victim. And then subsequently, not too long afterwards, just like 4 months later, Johnny Depp sued her for defamation. And so she then countersued, and that's basically kind of, that's the 10-second elevator pitch of this case, but there's a lot more involved.
Yeah, there's more seconds involved and more elevators, I feel, to really cover.
This is if we're going up to the Empire State Building, maybe we have enough time.
Yeah. We've got enough time to give a bit more explanation if we're going up that building. Yeah, but it's such an in-depth case. It really is. And you gave a pretty good summary there of overall what sort of happened. And I think, you know, one key thing to mention there with the December 18 op-ed is that, you know, that same week, Disney dropped Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean. So that was obviously one of his big or biggest franchises that he's worked in. And clearly that's work that he lost. So, and that all, of course, ties into the defamation side of things. But, that was a pretty good summary. And look, I could talk about this probably for weeks. As most people know, but, you know, where would you like me to start? Because I think for me, May 21st, 2016 is actually a good place to start. Now, that's kind of the end when we look at the incidents, but okay. Looking at the incidents and tracking back from there, it's actually an interesting place to start. So,
okay. Let's do that.
All right. So that week, May 21st, it was a really interesting one. So they'd separated essentially. They hadn't seen each other since April because there was also another incident on Amber's birthday a month prior. But on May 21st, Amber alleges that when Johnny came over, he was violent towards her, threw a phone at her, causing her injuries. And then after that, he left. And that later that week, she filed a temporary restraining order. That's what she did in that week. There's a lot of discrepancies, amongst that one, and they're all in independent witness statements with the building staff. There's a number of people that saw her that week with no injuries, no marks, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So that was on the 21st, but on the 27th, when she rocked up for her restraining order, she had marks on her face, which we all saw in the footage of her leaving the courthouse. So that's an interesting place to start, because in that restraining order, and the reason I say that is in that restraining order, she mentioned, or her lawyer, Samantha Spector at the time, mentioned that there was other incidents of domestic violence, but she said specifically that there'd been another two within the last 6 months. So that would be Amber's birthday, and it'd also be James Corden in December 2015, which we'll get to, but there was also another one that's now been alleged. So there was actually four, but at the time, and why that's curious is they only mentioned three incidents at the time of a restraining order. Yet okay. Where we are now, and when we got to in the UK trial, and also now in Virginia, is 14 incidents in total. Okay. So we didn't originally start this case or both cases with 14 incidents. It started with just, two or three that were just mentioned kind of offhand. They weren't actually mentioned specifically. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. And I will say, so when we're talking about domestic violence cases, I mean, there is an element to, looking at any kind of a domestic violence case. If we are going to assume that this one was a true one, there is a possibility that someone could not necessarily want to come forward with all of the details. But as a lawyer, when I see that the details that are alleged at one point, and then the details that are alleged, several years later, right. that they change over time, that's never good for a case. Change in memory is never good, even though sometimes there are legitimate reasons for it, right? Like sure. even like let's say that the claims are legitimate and mm-hmm. and memory fades over time, particularly traumatic memories, like those actually yes. are even yeah. less reliable because the brain has a way of protecting itself over time. Sure. So, but at the same time, there also is a possibility, a strong possibility that, that somebody's memory can change over time because they have decided to create a new narrative.
Well, when you say that and you're talking about Amber Heard, that is the moral of the story. That is what she's done over time. So I guess that's where it started, May 21st. And I should also say that four, not just two, not just one, four LAPD officers attended the evening of May 21st, 2016. The two of those officers had their body cams on. And so we've seen that footage, and it contradicts what Amber Heard, Josh Drew, and Rocky Pennington all said in their witness statements. So that's huge. That's a huge piece of evidence and a piece of the puzzle there, because the testimony, not only the depositions and testimony of those police officers, but the body cam footage also shows that what Johnny said was essentially accurate with what can be seen and what was said by the police officers. And what Amber said, not true. And nor the testimony of her so-called witnesses, which were just her friends, basically. So
yeah, and I've noticed that from what I've been able to, and I haven't been able to dig into the factual details not nearly as much as obviously you have, but the accounts that I've heard so far, at least from the night of May 21st, 2016, when she alleges that he threw his phone at her, that. The friends' accounts were all like, I was there afterwards. I showed up and he was over there and she was over there. No one can say that they were in the room when it happened.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because one of her witnesses does actually say she got into the room. But how she got into the room is the big question because Rocky Pennington, who was her friend and was married to Josh Drew and lived rent-free in Johnny's penthouse down the hall, Rocky Pennington said that she witnessed Johnny being aggressive and things like that. Now, she never said she witnessed Johnny striking her, but he was being aggressive and things like that. Now, Rocky Pennington, how did she get into the apartment? Because what Amber and Rocky didn't realize when they made their initial declarations about this incident was that Johnny's two security guards, Sean Bett and Jerry Judge, were waiting right outside the door because Johnny brought them with him with the thought that something like this may happen given her past behavior. Mm-hmm. But when they made their initial declarations, they weren't aware that Sean Bett and Jerry Judge were waiting right there because to them, to Amber and Rocky, those two security guards only came in later. After they heard, you know, all the noise and everything, they came in later. But in Rocky's statement, she said that she had to go to Amber's door. She heard screaming at the door and then went back and got a key to come back and open the door. But Johnny's security guards were there the whole time.
And they didn't see her.
They didn't see her at all.
Interesting.
So the look, there's a great video by Incredibly Average that visually breaks all of that down. But essentially, the assumption is that Rocky was already inside the penthouse with Amber when Johnny arrived.
Okay. So is it generally believed that she was actually there in the penthouse or that she was in some other place elsewhere and she's just claiming that she was there for it?
No, it's actually believed that she was there. She was there with Amber and that the whole thing was a setup because Johnny texted to say he was on his way to come pick some things up. And so
okay.
Yeah, it is interesting. And look, we could go so far into all of these, but I know you wanted to go through a few more of those things. I just thought that's a good starting point because that's when she actually decided to file a restraining order and tell the media and all those sorts of things. So
right, and this was basically when, correct me if I'm wrong, when it became clear that they were no longer going to be married at this point, right? And so she and Johnny Depp were not going to be married anymore. The divorce was writing was on the wall essentially. So there is a possibility, like if we are looking at you know motivations for doing certain things, there is a possibility that a jury could look at her and say, you had every motive to lie about this because you wanted to drum up a good settlement for divorce.
Yep.
Because you're Amber Heard, okay, fine. You know, I was she an Aquaman yet at this point? I can't remember.
Filming had happened, but I don't think it had been released yet. Yeah.
Okay. So she wasn't in a blockbuster maybe at this point. But then on the other hand, this is Johnny Depp. You know, like
right.
Like exactly. Johnny Depp is always going to be Johnny Depp, right?
Yeah.
So there is a possibility of a motivation to lie, which a jury is always going to be looking for with every single witness. Now that doesn't necessarily mean, of course, that something did or didn't happen. And this is like I'm trying to couch things in as objective a way as possible because this is what the jury is going to be looking things through that kind of a perspective, right? They'll be coming completely fresh, like without any kind of no, ideally, right? Like that's the ideal. If the voir dire process is done correctly, then none of the jurors will have any prior knowledge of any of these incidents, and you know they will
but
not.
But it is tough, right? Because it's Johnny F and Depp, you know, and people know who he is, and so it's tough. Like it is tough. I get that, and I hope. Honestly, I do hope that they are fresh and do come in with not knowing anything actually about the case, even though, you know, obviously I'm a very big supporter of Johnny Depp at this point, and that's from going through all of the evidence, you know, that we've seen. But I do hope that they're, a jury that doesn't know anything about the case yet, doesn't know anything about the situation, because really what I want at the end of the day is the same thing as Johnny. I just want his name to be vindicated, and I want him to be clear to these accusations. And I mean, there's a really big misconception that Johnny Depp is a defendant in any of this. He's the plaintiff in all of these lawsuits. He's the plaintiff. Amber Heard's never actually filed charges. She's never sued him for any of the things that she's alleged, which I think is important. But also, you know, you mentioned the jury and the the incentive for her to do this stuff. So Samantha Spector, her lawyer at the time of May 21st when she did this, wrote a extortion letter, we call it, because she wrote a letter to Johnny's legal team saying, Johnny needs to do all of these things, otherwise we're going to basically out him for all of the things that he's done. So she asked for $50,000 a month. She asked for a Range Rover. She asked for $10,000 a month for shopping. She asked for all of these exorbitant things. And this was in that week between May 21st, May 27th, when she got the restraining order. So when you say, you know, there's an incentive there for her to do this, absolutely. And she knew exactly what she wanted. She itemized it on a list immediately after. So that is an interesting part to tie into that whole motivation.
I guess it wouldn't necessarily matter. Was that letter before or after the incident? Do you remember?
It was after. Okay. So May 22nd, I think, was when it was dated, but I'd have to double check the dates. But it was definitely after May 21st. Yeah.
Okay. That would be weird if it's May 22nd. That definitely is very close in time.
And look, this one's just a little tidbit, but Amber technically filed for divorce first, but Johnny had told her he wanted a divorce, and that's what kind of blew up the whole May 21st thing. She was very upset about that because she was losing the paycheck, wasn't she? So
it sounds like it, right? Because I think other accounts are saying that he was basically footing the bill throughout their marriage. From what it sounds like, is that correct?
Oh yeah.
What you understand?
Yeah. Okay. Look, all of the it's documented that and all agreed that Josh Drew, Rocky Pennington, and other people as well, not just them, were living rent free in Johnny's penthouses, and he was okay with that. Like, he was fine with that during the marriage and everything. But all reports from every single person, including Amber Heard's own private investigator, found that Johnny Depp was nothing but generous and kind. And he would pay friends rents. He would pay, you know, he would look after people basically. So
yeah.
So,
okay. So that's the May 21st and May 27th, 2016, kind of like right around the time of their divorce. What other like big incidents were there that are alleged, at least originally alleged, because there's 14, that's a lot to go through.
Right. There is. And look, some of them are very, I would use the word frivolous, probably not in a legal sense or the legal meaning of it, but to me it's frivolous. And, you know, there's other words that people can use, but they're expletives to describe what her claims are. But, you know, she's had incidents now ranging from 2013 all the way through to 2016, which were all brought up after the fact, after the divorce, after all of this, after Johnny sued her. So none of these incidents were brought up until he originally sued her for the UK. Well, he didn't sue her in the UK, he sued the Sun newspaper, but she was obviously, it was based on her allegations. So, so there was a number of incidents.
Well, let me just clarify for that too, for if anyone here is kind of new to this whole case. So following that, the Sun also, and before the Washington Post article, the Sun, or no, was it after?
No, it was before. What happened was after their divorce and everything, time went by. There was a non-disclosure agreement between the two of them. Amber agreed as part of that she would pay her $7 million she got from Johnny Depp in the settlement to charity, to two charities. She said, I will do that. I'll pay to charity. That was all done, dusted. Nothing happened for a while.
So and then, that was actually part of the agreement, was that she had to donate settlement money to charity.
Oh, yeah, that was part of the
divorce
agreement.
That's what that whole issue is. Okay.
Oh, yeah. She it was court ordered that she would pay because that's what she said she would do. So that was part of the agreement when they divorced, was that she would pay that settlement money to charity. $3.5 million to the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles and $3.5 million to the ACLU.
Okay. See, I thought that she had just, I thought the issue was that she just later claimed for like goodwill purposes that she was donating it. But I didn't realize that was actually, she was essentially, well, she was court, she was ordered by the court then, not just contractually obligated to donate that and then did not.
Yeah. And look, as we said, we haven't got enough elevators to talk about all of this stuff today, but she, there's a whole lot around the whole charity thing as well. It's very detailed and very, let's just say dubious with everything that she said. But I mean, in a literal sense, what happened was in 2019, so it took a while for the subpoenas to get to the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles and the ACLU. But the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, once they got the subpoena, immediately gave up all their documents. And so what they said was they showed a letter as part of that subpoena and a part of that documentation that came through. It's so funny. She showed had to produce a letter that came from the CHLA. And what it said was, "Hi, Amber, we hope you're doing well. We'd just like to know if you're going to give us any of the money that you said you were going to donate back in 2016, 2017. So there's literally a letter from the CHLA saying, when are we going to get the money you said you were going to give us?
And the thing about it, too, is that this is a children's hospital. Like, these are children who are getting, like, cancer treatment.
Exactly.
And, like, and this is, like, oh, it looks even worse if she's, like, trying to, not necessarily defraud, but, like, kind of defraud a children's hospital.
Yeah. Well, I guess you wouldn't be able to say in a legal sense she defrauded them, but, I mean, she said that she was going to do it. She pledged that she was going to do it, and then she never did. Well, she went on national TV and in many, many news articles as well and stated that she'd already done it. So on a Danish TV show, she went on and said it was donated to charity. And so she's been found out to lie many, many times. And I guess, there are many other incidents too. We'll get to a couple of the big ones maybe. But she, I guess for me, one of the biggest things is I was never a huge Johnny Depp supporter. Like, I liked his films and, you know, I just sort of didn't think anything of it. And then when this case came up, I thought, you know, honestly, it's just another Hollywood, you know, spat between a wife and a husband in Hollywood.
Right.
It's just one of those things that happens. But then I heard the audio recordings of how Amber was talking to Johnny and how these things were actually going down. And I thought to myself, if she's actually a victim here, why does she keep getting so upset that he leaves? And why does she keep wanting to fight him all the time? Like, she's the one saying, I can't help getting physical. I can't promise you I'm not going to get physical again. And calling him a baby after she's hit him and punched him and stuff like this. And I'm thinking, that doesn't sound like somebody who's a victim. And so I dive deeper and deeper and deeper. And of course, you know, we are where we are now. But to me, it was just like she can't be telling the truth about all this in the way that it's portrayed, at least in the media. So, look, there's 14 incidents. They came up, most of them, well after all of this came out. She was using it for the UK trial for the most part, but it wasn't long after that that Johnny Depp sued her directly as well. So I think there's a couple of big ones. Like, there's a staircase incident in March of 2015. She named her incidents. When she wrote her statements and declarations, she named her own incidents, which to me I find very, very odd. But anyway, there's a staircase incident, and this is the one that we see in her deposition where she's talking about how she, you know, heroically saved her baby sister from being pushed down the stairs by Johnny Depp. When in actual fact, someone who worked for Whitney Heard, or Whitney Henrique now, Amber's sister, Jennifer Howe, who Whitney worked for, said that on that night, Whitney came to her place and was all distraught, saying that Amber was trying to push Johnny down the stairs. So, like, there's all of this contradictory testimony and declarations and evidence everywhere to go against this. And the other one, with the big one with the staircase incident too, is Johnny Depp, and this gets mentioned in depositions as well, in Amber's deposition. So Johnny's lawyer asked her in her deposition, did you hit Johnny Depp at any time during your relationship, basically? And specifically on this evening, because Johnny locked himself in a bathroom to get away from her. And she was trying to push her way in and get to him in the bathroom. And so he opened the door at some point. Look, he opened the door at some point. She tried to slam her way in, hit him in the head. He reacted and pushed the door and it hit her toes. But what happened after that was she actually punched him in the face after that. And so in her deposition, the lawyer actually gets that out of her that she admits to doing that, to punching him in the face. But the way that she describes it, and if people haven't watched it, please just go and find some of these videos and the audios and things like that, because they're very, very telling. But she basically tries to wordsmith it in a way to make it sound like Johnny was trying to get into where she was, but it was the other way around. She was trying to get into Johnny. And so, again, I just say it's counterintuitive for somebody who's a victim and has claimed 14 incidents of domestic violence and is so scared of this person. Why is she so desperate to get into the room where he's locked himself? Look, there's so much more with all of this, but the staircase incident's a really telling one, and that's one that gets talked about a lot in her deposition, where she's eating cookies very frustratingly. It's one of the most frustrating things to watch. Like, she's eating cookies and looking over at her lawyer and trying to get out of answering or delaying the answers. And anyways, but that's probably a really telling one, I think, because, you know, she tries to really make it dramatic and talks about how, you know, Johnny was after her sister and all of these things. And it's just,
And so, telling. And so you say that her sister's Whitney now, right? And so she was working for someone else who was there. You said Jennifer Howell is her name?
Sorry. Yeah. Look, and I'm trying not to get too deep into each one here, but Jennifer Howell owns a charity or started a charity called Art of Elysium. And Whitney, who's Amber's sister, worked for Jennifer Howell. And they were friends. And so after the incident on this occasion, Whitney went around to Jennifer Howell's place. So Jennifer Howell wasn't there, but she went around to Jennifer Howell's place.
Okay.
And told her, can I sleep at your place? Amber's done this, done that. You know, tried to do this to Johnny and everything. Okay. So, and it's very interesting because in this Virginia trial, Amber originally subpoenaed Jennifer Howell to testify on her behalf. And then Jennifer Howell did a declaration stating all of this about what really happened or what she really heard. And it is hearsay, but what she really heard happened. And after that, Amber tried to quash her testimony at her own trial that she'd subpoenaed her to. So
never a good look.
Right. And at the time it was Judge White who was presiding. Now it's not Judge Penny, but Judge White at the time even said in one of his orders related to that, it's preposterous for you to try and quash this testimony now after you subpoenaed her yourself. So basically, no, go away. Like this I think he even used those words. Like, it was preposterous.
Wow. That's a nuts one, but so, but it sounds like that particular stairs incident, do we know like what led up to that? What that issue was about
we do. So, and some of these tie into other incidents. Okay. So the March incident in Australia, which is where Johnny's finger was severed. And, you know, it's referred to her as the 3-day hostage situation, but it was actually not a hostage situation because she was free to leave at any time. So leading up to that, they'd had a very tumultuous few months. And it was only earlier that month. So the staircase incident happened the same month as the Australia incident. So the staircase was later in March. And earlier in March, which Amber isn't even aware of the dates of, is when they had their big, big argument in Australia, and where Johnny's finger was severed, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
we'll get into that because I have questions too.
Yeah. Well, that's another big one, you know. That's another huge one, but lots and lots of discrepancies in that. And I guess one thing I would stop and say, because I want to make sure I get it in while we're talking, is, you know, she's put forward, and it does lead into something we wanted to maybe talk about at the end, but it leads into the photos, right? So that she's got 14 incidents. She's alleged that this has happened over an extended period of time, yet she hardly has any photos of anything that happened to her or, you know, damage or anything like that. Even on occasions where she says it was just so horrific and, you know, other people took photos. She's got photos of her hair lying on the floor, but she doesn't have photos of the injuries that she says she has. I mean, she also has no medical records to show or prove any of this. But I always say with that, like, I understand that victims out there may not feel comfortable going to emergency departments, hospitals, doctors, things like that. I understand that with victims. But I just think, particularly with Amber Heard, you know, she said that this has happened, you know, on 14 occasions across 3 years, but hasn't taken any photos of the actual injuries, you know, and
Yeah. Cause I can understand if it's traumatic enough that you can't, that you don't think of taking photos, or you don't, you know, like I can understand something like that. Like it doesn't necessarily cross your mind, but if you're taking photos of some things, but not the actual injury, like you're specifically thinking that you're documenting something, but you're not actually documenting the most important part, right? That does seem a little bit strange.
Right. Yeah, it does. And look, I saw somebody mentioning in the chat there, so thank you for reminding me. But yeah, staircase incident as well is the only incident where someone potentially witnessed something. Every other person is someone told me, I heard, Amber said, and that incident is the only one where someone else was there in Whitney.
Okay.
And funnily enough, it would appear, if what she told Jen Howell is true, that Amber was actually the aggressor. So...
Yeah. I would imagine that Whitney has been questioned on the incident as well in a deposition. And does her narrative, I guess, line up more with Amber Heard's or with Johnny Depp's?
Whitney's lines up with her sister. So okay. She's
that makes sense.
She's protecting,
I mean,
her sister. She's going to do that. And there's a whole other story with Whitney and Amber, but I feel like Whitney's probably afraid of Amber as well at this point, because there's been, some patterns of abuse there as well between Amber and Whitney. And there was even footage on a reality show some time back where Whitney appeared the next morning with bruises all over her face. And the other contestants were asking her, did you get into a fight with Amber again last night? Because she really beat your ass. And so it's, there's a whole lot more that ties in there. So, I mean, look, Whitney could be just supporting her sister because she feels like it. But, you know, I also feel like there's an element of fear there for her as well.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that could also be the case. That is definitely a possibility. And I wonder if, I mean, there's one of the things that I guess both sides really kind of have to contend with is just the amount of sort of dates to go over, the amount of incidents to go over, and the number of people to question about all of these things, that I think one of the greatest challenges for the jury in this trial is going to be kind of like keeping everything straight and putting everything into a particular narrative. So I think that's going to be quite the challenge. But I wonder though, if Johnny Depp's attorneys are going to try to really take that as, you know, I would imagine that their narrative, it seems like that they've been going with so far, is Amber Heard is the real aggressor here. She's the one that is victimizing everyone else around her. So I wonder if they're going to try to, you know, use those kind of questions to her sister, like, hey, like you've been beat up too, haven't you? You know, like,
right.
You know,
well, I think you're right. There's, I'm so right on the narrative. And I feel like there's so much ammunition there for Ben Chu and Kathleen Zellner now as well on Johnny Depp's legal team to approach these witnesses in such a way that they can contradict them really easily, because, you know, they'll, and it's interesting that Amber Heard only has a few witnesses that are testifying live. She's got a lot of depositions there and only a few testifying live on her behalf. And they're mostly experts, not her friends, who we would have thought would be jumping up and down to try and defend their friend. But there's a lot. There's a lot for them to go through. There's a big narrative to build here, which will be, I would imagine, somewhat like the UK, but a little bit different, where, yes, it was all about Johnny Depp's actually the victim here. Amber Heard's the aggressor. And also, she's a liar. She's lying about all of it. And so, you know, people talk about a pattern of behavior with, you know, with abuse and things like that. But the pattern of behavior here is really on her behalf. And it's also a pattern of lying. She's lied repeatedly, and it can be called out. And now that she's gone under oath in the UK, well, she's going to perjure herself too.
Yeah. I mean, if she, if she deviates from what she said in the Sun trial mm-hmm. at all, there is definitely a possibility that she's going to be perjuring herself, even though these are two different legal systems. Right. The concept is still the same. Like they're very similar legal systems, yeah. right? Like the American legal system is, you know, as many very well know, is actually based on the British system.
Right.
So, you know, the idea that you have a witness that is testifying under penalty of perjury, you know, they mm-hmm. are taking the same kind of oath, even though it's yeah. a different, you know, a different court, is, you know, it's a similar kind of concept and the similar responsibility that any witness has when they're testifying at trial. Sure. So, and this is one of those cases too, where the fact that the thing that the jury is going to be looking for more than anything is honesty, dishonesty. Who is telling right. the truth? Who is mm-hmm. not telling the truth? You know, because that's what the claims are, right? Like, like who is lying? Because one person is.
Yeah, like of course. Yeah.
You know, like at least, you know, on certain details, right? Yeah. And so that I feel like the jury is going to be hyper aware of any kind of inconsistencies, and those mm-hmm. are going to be. I think those are the kind of thing that Amber really has to worry about going into trial is mm-hmm. is that and then things that are, you know, like the body cam footage that you mentioned from yeah. May 21st, 2016.
Yeah.
Like that's one thing that is kind of, you know, now video footage can always be manipulated, of course, you know, but the basics that are shown in video, you know, like if it mm-hmm. if you say that something was present in the room and body cam footage shows that there was nothing in the room,
right,
you know, that is something like a video doesn't have to remember things, right? Like it is recorded and that's it. So we don't have to worry yeah. about memory fading. The only thing that you have to really worry about is that this is a true and accurate copy of what was taken on that night and it hasn't been manipulated. Yes.
Yeah.
So things like that, I think early on are going to be a little bit of an issue for Amber. And that was for me personally, that was one of the first things that when I heard that, I was like, ooh, okay. So, you know, so she had described, I guess, you know, like the wine splashed on the, you know, on the wall and some sort yeah. of a door that was kicked or something, like some stuff goodness. Was trashed around.
Yeah.
And the body cam footage apparently shows no, everything was actually kind of okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so. Absolutely. And of course, look, you know, if you wanted to look at something that's, the damage wasn't there. Absolutely. The damage wasn't there, but also Josh Drew's witness statement. I mean, we could talk about his socks because everyone loves his socks he was wearing in that body cam footage, but that's probably not all that relevant. But his declaration, his testimony basically is that when those second set of police officers turned up, that they spent some time one-on-one with Amber. That he says that very clearly in his declaration, that they went aside and spent some one-on-one time with her. But in the body cam footage, the police literally come up the elevator, they walk out, they go to the door. Josh tries to not let them in, first of all, but then they walk in, they say hello, they wave. Amber and Rocky say, everything's fine. And then the police walk out. So there's no point where they spend any time alone with Amber. So that's one contradiction that is flat out there, 100% can be seen. And those sort of things can be found all the way through this case. There's a fantastic guy in the UK, Andy, who's been doing some really good investigative work with the photographs that were being provided. And so if you go over to SEC's channel, she's got some fantastic videos going through all of that. But it's essentially all the inconsistencies in the photos from all the incidents. And it's very, very clear that either the photos were doctored, which we think they were, or there really was no incidents in the first place. Because, yeah, and the reason I laughed when you said there was destruction through the hallways and all of that is because she kept going on about Johnny having this magnum-sized bottle of wine that he was swinging around wildly throughout the whole place, which is, you know, it's just ridiculous. But, yeah, there is a lot here. I can think the other one maybe to talk about, the other big incident maybe to talk about, because, look, they're all very relevant and they can all be debunked, essentially. But December 15th, 2015. So this is one where she describes and goes into great detail about what happened to her allegedly. So she's talking about how her hair was pulled out Johnny, you know, did this and did that, and he pushed her into the bed and it broke the bed, and she had like a busted nose, a broken lip, and you know, sore ribs and all of this kind of stuff, right? So she made this very elaborate accusation about that evening. And then the next day she went on to the James Corden show, and there's video footage, photographs of her on the James Corden show. Now, I know makeup can be done, but there is not a mark on her face. And I hate to say this because it's her, but she actually looked perfect. Like, she looked amazing. She looked stunning. So
I've seen those photos too.
Right. Yes.
And I wonder, maybe we should try pulling up some of these photos.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and
sure. Yeah, well, it's very interesting because look, and she had a number of people testify on her behalf or provide declarations on her behalf to say that yes, oh, she had all of these injuries and it was horrible and so much makeup was required. But you know, you can't cover a broken nose with makeup. That just doesn't happen. And also, what's really fantastic is Samantha McMillan, who was the stylist on that James Corden show on that evening. She also testified that she saw nothing, no bruises, marks.
So she did testify that in the Sun trial.
She didn't testify in the trial, I don't think, but she wrote a declaration.
She wrote a declaration. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And you said this was the makeup artist?
Not makeup. She was the stylist.
Oh, the stylist. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a very interesting statement, her one, because it says, you know, Rocky was talking about how, you know, she was like, look at what Amber looks like. She, you know, look what happened. And Samantha was like, what are you talking about? There's nothing to look at.
Yeah.
Everything looks the same. So.
So here's, I won't mm-hmm. play this video, but this shows some, let's see. So this is the video, or this is a photo of her when she was on James Corden.
Yeah.
This is what is this? This is what she later alleged is her black eye and busted lip.
Yep.
Okay. So you can see, I guess, some kind of a mark there, some, you know, which mm-hmm. based on the lighting, it's not good lighting. this is one of the issues with all of her photos of her injuries mm-hmm. is that they all are in poor lighting. And I don't understand, you know, like I am not in Hollywood. But, mm-hmm. you know, after a couple of years on YouTube, I understand lighting, you know, that like, if you want to show something well, you've got to, you know, like I've got a couple sets of, you know, lights up and, but it's, so let's see if there's more here. So this is okay. So flowers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And more of this. Okay. Snapshot so of her on the Late Show.
Yeah. So that's her with her busted lip in that photo.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So apparently had a split lip. Yeah.
Okay. So how, and the other question that I have is like, I mean, that bruise and that, so she, I mean, maybe it was, she's alleging that there were like multiple hits to her with, along with the, I guess the supposed headbutt or whatever, but
yeah.
I'm just wondering like how each of those accounts for the injuries that she alleges are there.
Well, the photos that she sent through, like, they don't. And I mean, I mentioned Andy only because his breakdowns are so detailed and so clear. Like, it's really clear to see where the issues are and the inconsistencies with the photos are. But, you know, one of them, just to mention, is, you know, as far as her narrative goes and the timing of the photos of when they were taken, the bruises actually changed significantly in shape as well. So it's almost as if one of them's dripping. So it's like a makeup drip that's coming down. And also, he makes a great point. Now, it's obviously it's just to make a comparison, but she was also in Zombieland, and the makeup that she had to make her look like a zombie in Zombieland is very similar to the apparent bruise on her face in these photos as well.
Interesting. And was that around the same time?
No, Zombieland was much earlier, but.
Oh yeah,
it was more right. just to draw a comparison and say if she wanted to fake these bruises and use makeup to make these look like bruises, then she would know how and she would know where to do it. So
yeah.
Mm.
So I mean, yeah, that could be something, but maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I don't really see much. I don't know. I guess that could be kind of a bruise there. I suppose. I'm not sure.
But look, it's... as one who's been sadly got the knock in the nose before, that will swell up, especially if it's broken. The nose will swell up quite large as well.
Did she say that she had a broken nose?
Yeah,
she did. Huh. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, any kind of a broken bone is going to have swelling.
Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That's her hair that was allegedly pulled out. And of course you need the finger in there to point out and let you know that it's hair, but,
it's interesting that she doesn't have photos of like where it was taken from.
Well, she did post one photo of, allegedly where it came from on her head, but okay. It's not that you can't tell it's her hair or her head in the photo.
Okay.
And the photo on the floor doesn't necessarily match her hair either.
Okay. Okay.
So
interesting. Interesting. So this is kind of an example of,
right. So she took that photo of Johnny passed out after he'd been working all day, like a 15-hour day. She took that photo, but for some reason couldn't take a clear photo of her own alleged horrific injuries.
Huh. Yeah. So this is from Heard his claim she was left bruised after a string of attacks during a couple's
I believe that's May 21st, that one. I believe that's May 21st.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's from the cell phone incident, supposedly.
The phone, allegedly. Yeah.
Okay. So she's claiming that this whole thing, like this redness around her right eye is from being hit with a phone.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Maybe. I suppose. Let's see. Okay. And then there's this one. Amber Heard has claimed she was bruised from one of the 14 alleged attacks. Okay. There's
again,
that could also be, acne.
Right. And she does have acne. She's on acne medication. That's a known fact as well.
Yeah. I saw something, or I heard something about that. She had been on Accutane, even though it was discontinued or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's from Australia, that one, the mirror incident. That's from Australia.
Okay.
After Johnny's finger was severed. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess to kind of cap off the December 15th issue. So right. or incident or whatever. So yeah. Basically she had gone on James Corden the next day, and so I'm sure we can all find there's some video on this page. Maybe I should play a little bit just to see like how her face is moving. So you can see how her face is moving, that it's, you know, if you've been I don't know, maybe bruised around the eyes, maybe that can be, you know, covered up or something, but the busted lip, I feel like would potentially be maybe noticeable. Yeah.
And opening your mouth like that as well would be very, you would wince. I feel like you would, you know, it would hurt. It would sting to do that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So that's interesting. So the stylist basically said, I saw nothing. And this is the person that is supposedly painting on the face, you know, that is going to be covering up these marks. That is highly suspect to me. I would very much want to hear from this person at trial for sure.
Yes.
Go ahead.
She's on Johnny's witness list, Samantha McMillan. So
is she in person? I can't remember if she's in person or
I can't recall, to be honest. Most of Johnny's are in person, which is good. But I don't know. I can't remember. I'd be lying, to be honest, if I said I knew if she was in person or not, but I hope so. I hope so, because it'd be nice for the jury to see her get up there and say, "No, I didn't see anything on that day." And the other thing about
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just remembered as well with December 15 incident. She also went to the Bahamas after that, and there's photos of her at the Bahamas jumping around, mucking around in her bikini, no bruises, marks, nothing like that, and she even says. She had a dig back at Johnny's lawyer last year, Adam Waldman, because he was posting the photos of her that she had posted on Instagram of her with no bruises and everything, saying, "Oh, look at that, no bruises, no marks." And Amber fired back at Adam Waldman saying, you know, that she had makeup on. But the person who took the photographs, because it was an actual photo shoot, said, "How beautiful is Amber Heard with no makeup and nothing?" So contradicted by her own photographer.
Okay. So yeah, and that I would also want to hear from that photographer at trial too, to say like, you know, on this date, you know, where like or you know, more ideally, any makeup artist that would have been, you know, that would have been, but you know, but otherwise a photographer would probably be able to tell if she's wearing makeup or not, if she's, if she has a fresh face or, you know, I mean, especially if it's somebody that, that it has been specifically hired to come out and take photos of her. Absolutely. So there's definitely a lot that, that doesn't seem to add up in her, in a lot of these things, or at the very least that I personally want to hear from these other people that were around, either either at the time of the incident or immediately afterwards, when the injuries should have shown up, because it's like, this is one of those things, is that, you know, number one, you know, if somebody was there when something went down, obviously, then they're able to testify to that. Number two, they're able to testify to if they actually saw any injuries that she had. If she was moving in a way that showed that she was a little bit, you know, she was a little sore because of something that happened, you know, or if she wasn't as expressive as she normally is, or, you know, she's particularly worried about covering her, her hair in a certain way, or, you know, or wearing sunglasses or a hat, or, you know, like things like that, 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 that can sometimes, you know, stick to memory if you are around this person on a particular day, if you can remember it, you know, that's another issue, you know, like I said before, that the memory can fade, but anytime that it's, and it seems like, I know you kind of mentioned this earlier, that, that the friends that have kind of come out and, or that, that had supported her, you know, I know that some of them have sort of since distanced themselves from her, maybe not all of them, but at least some of them. But the, these people that were some of her most vocal supporters weren't actually there during these incidents, but they got pieces of it that maybe they believed that it was true. Maybe not. I don't know. You know, like this is, that's another analysis into like what these people knew at the time. But what, regardless, what matters is that there's a very strong rule in American courts that, that a, that hearsay is not allowed unless it falls into one of the many exceptions. There are a bunch of them, but basically hearsay is a, an out of court statement that is provided to prove the truth of the matter asserted. So basically, you know, anytime someone says, you know, I know that Amber Heard was abused because she told me so, that is pure hearsay. So you can't, and so, so that's the kind of thing that cannot come into trial. So if the only reason why these friends know, so to speak, that, that something happened is because of a conversation with her, because she told them, or because she, you know, she indicated, then that's not something that the jury can hear, because that's not, that's basically going to be tainting their ability to analyze pure information. Now, if they say, you know, I talked to her the next day and she was really shaken up, they can say that because that's something that they themselves observed, you know? So things, well, things of that nature.
And it's funny that, that you say that, like, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, it is for me and for the others covering this case, so in depth, we are very much deep into it. And so, you know, taking a step back for a minute and thinking about it in that sense is good, because, you know, it's so true. And when you said, these witnesses who didn't or did or said they did, or, you know, have all this hearsay testimony about Amber told me this happened, or, you know, I think maybe this happened or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's funny because Johnny Depp actually has witnesses who witnessed Amber abusing him, but she really can't produce the opposite. So that he has on his side. And, you know, it's really, really interesting when you just said that. It made me think, well, hang on a minute. Johnny does have those witnesses on his behalf for the times that she assaulted him. You know, Tara Roberts is a good one from the Bahamas. You know, Johnny's trying to get away again and Amber's screaming at him and hitting him and all these kind of things. So, yeah, it's
and
insane.
That, and just remind me, you said Ty Roberts?
Tara Roberts.
Oh, Tyra Roberts. Sorry.
Yeah, she was the manager down at the Bahamas property.
Ah, okay, okay. So she, okay, so she works for Johnny
Depp. Yeah,
Okay. Yeah. So then, I mean, the jury, of course, is going to be analyzing, you know, for any kind of incentives, any kind of biases of these witnesses. So is she still working for Johnny? Do we know at this time? Or
I don't know, to be honest. I'm not sure. Okay. As far as I was aware, she was up until she gave her statement, but yeah. I don't know if she still is at this point.
Okay.
Amber did try to say a while ago that, oh, all of these witnesses for Johnny Depp, they're all paid by him. They're all his employees and everything. And look, some of them are, but so many of them are independent. And the key ones that I probably would look at is people like Trinity Esparza, Brandon Patterson, Alejandro Romero. These are all building staff from the East Columbia building who all testified that they saw Amber Heard between May 21st and May 27th of 2016 throughout that week multiple times in good light. And she had no marks, bruises, or anything on her face.
Yeah.
And then we're very surprised to see a bruise on her face at the end of that week.
Yeah.
So they're all independent. She wanted to say that they work for Johnny. They don't. They all have always worked for the building management company and not for Johnny Depp. So, and they also testified, Brandon Patterson and Trinity Esparza also put in their declarations that Amber Heard approached them and asked them to lie and talk to People magazine and tell them something that wasn't true. So,
oh boy.
Yeah. And they both, both of their witness statements align on exactly that. So,
okay. Interesting.
And they're independent. They're not friends of anybody. They're not paid by anybody. They just work in the building.
Oh, that's okay. Then that's a relatively trustworthy witness to have in, on that. And so I guess going back to those photos in the Bahamas, so those were, like you said, those were modeling photos, right?
Right. Yeah.
Now what were, I've also come across some photos of her, like when she and Johnny Depp and I guess his kids, they were somewhere and they were like tubing or something. Was this after another one of the, oh, that was the same one.
Same one. Yeah.
Okay. So when they're actually in the water with their life vests on and everything, I mean,
Response is perfect.
I've been that woman that feels a need to wear skin makeup all the time, all day, every day. Right. But when you're in the water, you know, it's going to come off.
Right. And I don't know about you, but I've done some tubing before and bouncing around on broken ribs. That would not be happening. Like, you couldn't pay me enough to get on that tube if I had broken ribs. Not a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty, ribs are pretty sensitive when you do break. I haven't broken them myself, but there was when I was a kid, one time I can't remember exactly what my dad did, but I think he had broken or bruised a rib or something.
Yeah.
We had gone to Disneyland not long after that. And I do vaguely remember him being in a bit of pain that day because he was absolutely. Like, so, you know, something like that also would be noticeable to, you know, to the photographer, to other people that were around that day, you know, if it's just Johnny Depp and his family, but, you know, maybe other employees that are working for the management company, maybe other people that are coming in and out, that if anybody notices that she's, you know, being super active, she's doing these water sports, you know, and she's saying that she has bruised ribs, but she's not moving in any way that seems to indicate that she has some sort of a physical issue or a physical ailment, you know, like that's the kind of thing that the jury is going, you know, or would look at if they're presented with that, they would look at that and say like, this doesn't line up. This just doesn't line up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
man. So let's talk about Australia.
All right. Well, I will, I tell you, I'm loving this conversation. I'd love to catch up again as well, but I'll probably have to go in about 15 minutes if that's okay.
That's absolutely fine.
But Australia, oh my goodness. So I have to say this. So first of all, if you married Johnny Depp, let's just hypothesize for a second. If you married Johnny Depp, would that be a memorable occasion, do you think, marrying Johnny Depp?
Yeah, to anyone, literally anyone.
Well, thank you. I think that's a really good way to say it as well. But Johnny Depp, maybe just a fraction more because it's Johnny Depp.
Right.
So Amber forgot. A month later, she forgot she was married to Johnny Depp because in her statement about the March incident, in Australia, she said that they were making preparations for the wedding. They were already married. They'd already been married for a month.
Okay.
So let me just start with that.
But, okay.
Then she also went on to get the dates wrong in her declaration for the UK, her witness statement. She got the dates wrong for March in 2015 because she said it was March 3rd to 5th. It was actually March 6th to 8th. And we can backtrack that via Johnny's medical records from when he attended hospital on the 8th of March. So the two testimonies here, the two, I guess, diametrically opposed statements here from Amber and Johnny are very, very interesting. And the funny thing is about most of this is that Amber's the only one you can find any inconsistencies with. Johnny essentially just tells it how he saw it or how it happened. And Amber embellishes with all these different kinds of details, you know, like there's birds, or she talked about someone putting meat in her clothes, or like it's all these irrelevant things that she adds in to try and make it sound more dramatic, but really it's just lies. So she alleges on Australia, 3 day, not a hostage situation, I'll call it. She alleges that she was basically kept captive in that house in Australia. Johnny wouldn't let her out. He was yelling at her all the time. And each day he was physically abusing her, and he was doing all kinds of things. And it all essentially culminated, and, you know, she was hiding in bathrooms and stuff like that. Now, it all culminated really on March 8th. So sometime, and they'd been arguing, you know, overnight as well. And Johnny agrees with that. They align on that part. They were arguing. But what led up to that was that she just found out that Johnny wanted a postnup. They'd just been married and he wanted a postnup agreement. And she was not happy about that at all. Hence why there was an argument. Hence why all of this stuff happened. And so on March 8th, Johnny's basically, his testimony is, he was moving from place to place in the house, trying to avoid her, trying to get away from her and trying to avoid any confrontation. He'd had enough. Like, and the word he uses is he was harangued. She was haranguing him everywhere he went. Now, Johnny had been sober up until this point for about a year. Okay. He hadn't drunk any alcohol. And he said he just couldn't take it anymore. So he went downstairs to the bar in that Australia house and started drinking because he just couldn't handle the rage anymore from her. Okay. Anyway, she kept at him. And she threw one vodka bottle at him, which went past his head and smashed behind on the wall. And then she threw a second bottle, and his hand was resting on the countertop at this point. She threw a second bottle, which smashed against the bar and his finger. And it severed the top of his finger. And so from there, he admits that he was angry, of course, and he went and he smeared blood and some paint and stuff on walls, mirrors, things like that. So he admits to doing that. But he also says he was in shock and he doesn't actually know 100% what he did or not, because he was in shock about his finger and like the bone was exposed. So it was very, very gruesome.
Yeah.
But the timeline of events after that is very interesting, because he did go and his bodyguard, Malcolm Connolly, came and picked him up from the house, who says that Amber was screaming and yelling and all this kind of stuff. But she also changed her behavior. She was going from, I'm sorry, what have I done, to, you know, I can't believe you're going to leave because of this. I can't believe, you know, you've said this or done that. And so she was angry at him in one sense. And then she was like remorseful and guilty in another sense. And there is a small audio clip which she recorded herself. I do not know why, but she recorded herself in that Australia house after that incident where they were trying to look for Johnny's finger. And you can hear her in the background saying, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Now, that's very, very telling for me. And for somebody who says that they were locked in and they were a hostage in that home for 3 days with no communications, didn't have a phone, couldn't, you know, do anything. And there's a really, really great breakdown from Incredibly Average on YouTube on that one. And also SEC, who's in the chat right now. She's got a great channel breaking down or going through Andy files as well. So,
hey, SEC. So I'm going to have to link to everybody in the description below, everyone that I've been writing down as you've been mentioning them, but SEC, Andy Files, Incredibly Average, I'll have to link them in the description below so that people can check those out if they're curious.
And there's also Dr. Soup and Come Geek Some too. They're really, really good at covering this too. So,
Okay.
I think they've been in the chat as well, which is nice to see.
Yes. Yes, I think so. Yeah. So, and also like, hey guys, thanks for coming and checking this out. So yeah, I will be putting all of them in the description below as well, so that people can check it out. Okay, that's kind of nuts. Now I could, you know, playing devil's advocate again.
Yeah, of course.
I could see someone who is a victim, you know, feeling afraid if they lashed out at someone, you know, while in the midst of being, you know, victimized, that they could be, sure, you know, then fearful for that, you know, if it actually caused an injury and saying, I'm sorry. And somebody in the chat mentioned that umbrella guy too. Yes, I will. Yeah. I will also put him in there.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I can see that happening, but you know, anytime somebody is recorded as apologizing, that still looks like somebody's apologizing. You can at the very least ask them, what are you apologizing for?
Absolutely. And look, if you tie that, I think that's a good point. Like, and I'm glad you're playing devil's advocate, because it's, to me, it's sort of like you have to take that train. And where I'm at right now is I've gone so far into this that I just, there's no possible way I can see her as being truthful or innocent. And so, you know, when you say that, I agree, like you've got to look at it from an outside perspective, and the jury hopefully will as well. But when you put this pattern of behavior together that she's got, and you combine that with the other audio of her literally calling Johnny a baby because after she's hit him and stuff like that, you know, it's really disturbing, honestly, to hear. It's disturbing to hear her talk about how, you know, she did these things to him, and yet he needs to just get over it, move on. He's a baby, and stop running away every time she wants to fight him. Stop running away. Like, so when you tie all of that stuff together, it does build a much different picture, I feel.
And the thing is too, is that, you know, we're all definitely allowed, obviously it sounds ridiculous, but we're all allowed to come to our own conclusions based on the evidence when we come across them, just like the jury. Right. So, so the fact that you have come to a particular conclusion, to me, it makes no difference. And I know that there will be commenters that are saying, like, you see, I told you, like, you claim to be objective, but you know, like, like you've got this Stevie J guy on your channel and he's biased and you're lying, and like, you're just trying to make lies for the world. But the thing is, like, so you know, for me personally, I'm trying to keep two minds of it, mostly because as I go through this, I want to try to keep my foot in the courtroom, you know, like from the jury box. But I will say that for me personally, I have been noticing a lot of inconsistencies in Amber Heard's testimony, and I have been, you know, there's a lot that can be cross-examined. There's a lot of cross-examination fodder there. Now some of the things that Johnny Depp has to worry about here is kind of more having to do with some of his history before Amber Heard. Some of the stuff that came up in the Sun trial, you know, like his like 1994 incident when he, you know, supposedly tore up a Manhattan hotel room when he was dating Kate Moss, you know, like, but then again, it's like, that's also, that was 1994. Like were there, you know, like there was a period of time, like in the early to mid 90s when he wasn't, you know, really doing so well emotionally, but like, is there anything from then until Amber Heard that like, there's any,
there really isn't. And you're so right. And I hope that people don't look at Stevie J and go, geez, he's just a Johnny Depp fan, because I actually had no interest, to full disclosure, I had no interest in covering this case. I had no interest in talking about it whatsoever until I heard the audios and started digging deeper. And like yourself now, I imagine, like, every time you lift something up, lift up another rock, it's like, what? That's weird. Why would that be the case? You know? And so I just kept doing that. Like, this is strange. And so then I got to the point of where I am now. But, you know, for me, it's been a couple of years of going through all of this and looking at all the evidence, but I totally understand from other people not getting there yet. But all I would say is go and look at that evidence yourself, because you'll most likely, if you do, end up where I am. And, you know, the other thing too, that's important to remember is one of the things that really surprised me and encouraged me to continue with covering this case and with other things too is the victims out there, the actual victims, there's millions of them who have really gone through some horrific stuff. And they've all been commenting and, you know, writing in, and I've interviewed a few of them talking about their horrific experiences, and they support Johnny Depp, and they do not believe Amber Heard. And a lot of them are also not Johnny Depp fans. They're not people who are just like, I love Johnny Depp. It's because they see the lies in her and the disingenuous way that she portrays being a victim. And it's hurtful to them because they're sitting there going, well, I never would have done any of these things. This isn't how, you know, I felt when it was actually happening to me. Right. And one of the big things that they talk about is the fear. You know, there was so much fear that they felt, and that's just not conveyed by Amber in any sense whatsoever, other than her saying that she was afraid. But her actions, you know, her actions actually display something totally different.
And you know, I saw, I think it was Dr. Soup pointing this out, or somebody else pointed this out, half Irish, you know, that you know, in these incidents also, it makes a difference as to whether we are talking about somebody getting angry, you know, expressing anger versus, you know, then, you know, using violence to express that anger, but using violence against people to express that anger. Those are three different categories that, you know, sometimes one can indicate, you know, that another thing has happened, but not always. Someone can just be somebody who really expresses anger a lot and has a particular line that they absolutely never cross.
Right.
You know, like that's also a possibility here.
Did you ever see the TMZ video that was released that was portraying Johnny as a wife beater? Did you see that one?
Was that the one that was in the kitchen?
Yeah, that was the kitchen one.
Yes, so, I saw the shortened version, and then I saw the whole thing.
Right.
Which the shortened version looks very alarming.
It does, doesn't it?
Because it ends with him discovering that he's being recorded, and then getting very angry, and then you see the camera kind of just sort of muck up, and it's just, you know, black and white,
and it stops.
You know, and then that's it. You know, but when it's extended, you see. Then she kind of gets it back again. He walks out of the room. She kind of looks into it. She kind of like smiles or smirks or whatever. And then she's like walking in a different direction. Like nothing has actually happened to her in that situation.
No. And one of the things that a lot of people initially, when that video didn't come out, and I get it, like the media are one of the people I hate the most in this, or groups of people I hate the most in this, because it's so disingenuous all the time. But that video, when it came out, was portrayed, of course, as, well, you can only imagine what happened after that recording turned off and what Johnny did. Yes. Then you see the real thing and you start to think, well, hang on a minute. He was obviously going through something. He was upset about something. Is it this woman who apparently loves him decided the best thing to do is record him, not actually say, what's wrong? How can I help? What can I do to make the situation better? How can I make you feel better in this situation? It was, I know what I need to do. I need to record him right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, someone who, you know, she smirks at the end of that video. She then, you know, looks like she's going to go after him and try and get more out of him or antagonize him some more. So, you know, again, just more behaviors that are counterintuitive with someone who's fearful for their life.
Right.
So I am going to have to get going. This has been so much fun, though. And it's been really good to chat.
This has been really great. I'm gonna get a few super chats. So, but if you need to go, then you know that's fine. I can go through these after you
that's
go.
Right. I'll hang around for that if you like.
Okay, cool. So Dr. Soup, thank you so much for sending the super sticker. Really glad to have your support. In Fantasy I Die, Alita, Amber is fake business, yes or yes. Put her in jail, as in Tim Dillon would say. Thank you for this coverage. Of course. Thank you for the super chat. Cherokee girl, kiss the cuteness having a snoozle behind you. Of course. Andy is my ride or die. She often looks like just a shadow in the background, but she is like, she's there for every single live stream, every video. Aww, it seems.
Very cute.
Yeah, she's the sweetest. Morag McLeod said, no visits to the ER, but with access to a private nurse, she didn't even need a Band-Aid. Now, that is interesting too, because I would that would be very interesting to hear from the private nurse, you know, to see if that's something that they had any kind of a conversation, which of course, if they did, they would have had records of it most likely, in which case, you know, and I will say too, that domestic violence, you know, victims oftentimes will have a hard time speaking to any kind of medical personnel, unless it's like a friend or something, because, you know, they also may understand that going to the doctor and having these kind of bruises come up means that the doctor will be compelled to report that in a lot of instances. So a lot of people, I can understand somebody being in that kind of a legitimate situation, being, you know, nervous about something like that, not wanting to report it for that particular reason, because then it could create more violence and that kind of whole thing. So, but it's an interesting point that if she has access to a private nurse, who maybe she has a relationship with, she can kind of talk more as a friend. That's maybe a slightly different kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Forever Keeper says, I don't know. Many of these allegations sounds like it could come from any marriage. The only reason this particular case is receiving any notice is because of the fact that these people are famous.
Well, look, I mean, it's a fair point. A lot of people say, I think it was just a tumultuous marriage. I think it was both of them and all of that. And if you're just having a summary, cursory view from the outside, I totally understand that viewpoint. But like I said, if you want to really find out about it, go and look at all of the evidence, and I'm sure you will come to the same position as me, that that Amber was really somebody who set all of this up, I believe, and she was the aggressor in all of it. So and with the whole famous thing, this becoming public, it should be really noted here too, Johnny never wanted any of this to be public, not because he felt guilty. He didn't. He actually says in an audio recording, he wanted Amber to be protected. He didn't want her career to be ruined by any of this, but he had no choice. She wanted to go public. So,
man, 2012 Jameson says he sounds like that umbrella guy who is in court documents. He's speaking what many people have been saying. Yeah, sounds like it. Classic Pause says OG TMZ video was what made me doubt her story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, well, this has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for spending, you know, over an hour with me. I know it's a little bit early in the morning for you. So I really, really appreciate it. This has been great. And I'd love to have you on again. And, you know, I don't know what you're planning to do for the, you know, during the trial, but you're more than welcome to join, at, you know, whenever you would like for the live stream. Cool. So that would be awesome.
Yeah, so, for sure. Well, thanks for having me on today. And I know there's a few of us, Come Geek Some, SEC, Dr. Super, myself, who are planning on streaming it at different times as well, the trial. But yeah, absolutely. Love to pop on at some point and have a chat. Sure. I mean, it's going to be going for a long time, isn't it? So
yeah. Should be about a month.
Yeah, happy to share some of that airtime as well, you know, and go back and forth on the case, because it's going to be very, very interesting. You know, so many people have been waiting so long for this. And of course, Johnny himself. I mean, all he's ever wanted out of this is to clear his name. So I hope he gets that.
Yeah. And I guess one last super chat here. Forever Keeper says, I really know nothing about this case, but if she's in fact guilty in all of this, then I hope she gets what's coming to her. I do too. Absolutely. Well, completely. Yeah. Yes. Completely agree with that super chat. So, all right. So this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, CVJ, once again for joining me. If you guys want to check out his channel, his links are in the description below. He's also on Twitter. Any other place to find you?
I'm also on, I call it InstaFace because I don't really understand Instagram all that well, but I'm on Instagram as well. Same handle and everything. Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, be sure to check them out in all of those places. And I will update with everybody else that has been mentioned here. If you guys are curious to find out more that these various channels, these various people have been able to put together and kind of dig up. And with that, I will see you guys in the next.